Okay, we're going to be reading from Philippians chapter 1. Now, Philippians is after Ephesians and before Colossians. I struggle to find it again because it's not very big. So I'll let you flick and find it. So it's Philippians chapter 1. We are reading 8 verses. So 1 verse 1 of Philippians. All right, hear the word of the Lord. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Thanks, Josh.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's great to be with you and to open up God's word once more. And it's particularly great to be able to see all of your lovely smiling faces. It's been some time, I think, in the evening service since we've had that. So I think there are even people here who maybe are new to us since we've had the mask mandate. So it'd be great to see your face for the first time this evening. Looking forward to that. Well, last year, I decided that it was finally time. I was going to buy myself a nice pair of sunglasses. Now, before that point, I'd had a couple of pairs of sunnies, but they were kind of like cheap ones, ones you could get down the road at Frio Markets, and they looked okay. They did the job, but over time they were starting to break down. So I thought, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go out. I'm going to buy myself a nicer pair of sunnies, and that I did. I went out. I got one, and the first thing I remember after I purchased this particular pair of sunglasses was the difference they made when I wore them compared to the previous pairs. Okay, because as soon as I put them on in the sun out and about during the day, I remember turning to my wife at the time, Carolyn, and saying, "Yeah, with these sunnies on, the grass looks greener. The sky looks more blue." I was amazed that with these new sunnies on, everything looked more beautiful, more amazing. And particularly when I compared it to the previous pairs I'd had, the cheap pair, right? When I was wearing those, I noticed actually things were darker when I put them on. That were darker, whereas these new ones seemed to make everything nice and bright. Now, why do I say this? Well, tonight we're beginning a new series through the letter to the Philippians, and we're going to be working our way through it bit by bit, probably over the next couple of months. And one of the big themes that pops up in this letter is something like, obviously, what our title is. So the title there is "This is the Way, Christ's Sacrifice and Service," to the letter of the Philippians. So we're going to be seeing a lot about that. But particularly for tonight's passage, one of the big themes that comes out is that it's a little like that nice pair of sunglasses. Now, what do I mean? Well, what we'll see in this opening section is that Philippians, in a way, brightens up for us or makes more beautiful and inviting, well, not everything around us, but specifically two things. Well, first, our relationship with God. And secondly, our relationship with one another as Christians. Okay, both of these things are kind of magnified and enhanced as we go through the letter, particularly his opening 8 verses, so that we come away with a more amazing picture of them. It's almost like as we read these first 8 verses, God's kind of slipping on those nice sunnies so we can see those things in a more beautiful and amazing way. Now, why is that helpful? Why is that a good thing? Why should we be excited about that? Well, because I suspect if you're like me, then maybe you're tempted to see your connections with other Christians as a bit like the way that you see your friends list on Facebook. And what is that? Just in case you're not on Facebook or not familiar with it, it's just the way that this social media platform categorizes the people that you're connected to. Okay, so here's an example of such a list. There it is, a list of friends. And what do you notice about that list? Well, they're just there, aren't they? They're just listed there. There's no kind of quantifying of these relationships. They're not rated. It's not like these are the like super close friends and those are the friends you're not as close with. No, they're just listed there. They're just there in a bunch, in a group, and they're all viewed as the same. And as Christians, I think there's a temptation to see the connections we have with other Christians in that way as well, as if they're just the same as all the other connections that we have. They're just friends or connections or relationships in just the same way, all categorized the same. And the letter to the Philippians, well, the letter to the Philippians is such that it's encouraging us, like that nice pair of sunnies, to actually have a bigger, brighter, more wonderful picture of those relationships, our relationship with God and our relationship with other believers. Okay, it's saying they're not of the same category as everything else. So with that said, let me make the case for you tonight. But first off, before we do that, I'm going to jump into a bit of background. Given we're starting this letter, we're going to be making our way through it. Good just to get our bearings with the letter of Philippians. So let me tell you a little bit about that. Well, first of all, Philippi was a city that was established in 356 by Philip II of Macedonia. Okay, so I've got a picture there of it. Philip II of Macedonia, he was actually the father of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, you're no doubt aware of. And yeah, if this guy was his father, he named the city after himself, and that's probably where Alexander got his trend of naming cities after himself as well. Now, what else do we know? As we get closer to the time of Jesus, so going from 356 now close to the time of Jesus, well, this city goes from being a Greek city, which is what Philip was, to being a Roman city. Okay, so it becomes very Roman. By the time we get to Paul's day, which is even later, what we're seeing is it's a city with lots of people with lots of different backgrounds, but it has lots of Roman citizens, ex-military people, retired soldiers. So there really is a distinct kind of Roman flavor to the city. Now, Paul, his relationship with the city starts in AD 49, and that's what we read earlier. Charles read for us Acts 16. But now he's writing to them with this letter that we're going through tonight. And that's about 10 years later. And he's writing that while he's in prison. And Paul writes a number of prison letters. This is one of them. He's likely in Rome, in a Roman prison. And there are a number of reasons why he writes the letter. But at least one of them is that he's just received a gift of material support from the Philippian church. Okay, so right at the very end of the letter of the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 18, he says, "I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent." Okay, so this letter is at least in part a reaction to that gift that he's received. And so Paul's writing back to the church, to a church that's supporting him while he is in prison. Now, what does he call them to do in that first part of the letter that Lewis just read for us? Because I think if we get that right, well, that'll give us a clue as to this bigger picture, this more beautiful picture that we're meant to see about God and about each other. Okay, so what does he call them? Well, he doesn't call them friends or connections. He calls them gospel partners. Okay, that's the term we see, gospel partners. And so there's two things that we see pop up in this first eight verses. Okay, two things, and this is what we'll be focusing on tonight. First, he says, a gospel partnership is from God. And second, gospel partnership fuels deep relationships. Okay, gospel partnership's from God. Gospel partnership fuels deep relationships. Now, again, we've got to stop here because I want to make sure we define what we mean. I've told you he's called them gospel partners. What does he mean by that? What does Paul mean by it? let us most basic, kind of the most simple level, what he's getting at is this. Hey, a gospel partner is someone that believes the same gospel as you, right? Someone who believes the gospel like you do. So in this case, Paul obviously believes the gospel. He's writing to them in part about that. And the Philippian church, they believe it as well, right? So at its most basic, Paul can refer to them in this way. They are gospel partners. Now, if you meet someone who follows or happens to follow the same sports team as you, even if you don't know them that well, there's instantly like a bit of a connection, isn't there? You now have something that you share together, something to talk about. So you're partners in that way. And that's kind of what's happening here, except it's about something infinitely more important than just what sports team you follow. Okay, so gospel partnership, definition, is when you and the people that you know believe in the gospel, okay? Believe in God's grace to sinners through Jesus, okay? So there you go. With that term defined, let's go back to our points, right? So the first point Paul makes, gospel partnership is from God. Now, after an introduction there, the first couple of verses, well, Paul continues or begins his letter by saying to them, effectively, look, Philippians, I pray for you guys regularly, and when I do, I always give thanks. Now, why does he say that to them? Well, it's because they are, as we've just said, they're his gospel partners, right? They're not just any old connection. They're not just the friends on the friend list. No, they're gospel partners. And in fact, this church has been a fervent supporter of his ministry right from day one, right from the get-go. Okay, they didn't decide to start supporting Paul once he became well-known in the Mediterranean area. Right, they didn't decide to start supporting him just when they could afford it. No, from what Paul tells us here, they've been supporting him right from the very beginning. And that's why in verse 5, he says, when he's talking about why he prays for them, he says, because of your partnership in the gospel, there's that gospel partnership, from the first day until now. Okay, so this church has been his long-time faithful supporter. But notice when he gives thanks, well, he's not giving thanks to them, right? He's giving thanks to God. Okay, verse 3, he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. So the object of his thanks for their long-standing, steadfast gospel partnership is not them, but God. Right? And so what he's telling us there, what he's implying for us, is that this gospel partnership, it didn't come about because of their decisions to connect with one another or because they decided to make it happen. It didn't come about because they're really nice, considerate people, or even because when they first got to know each other back in Acts 16, they just formed this really strong bond. No, Paul's saying it came about because God made it happen. Right? He's the one to thank for this. Not just because they have something to believe in, they've got the gospel. Not just because they both do believe in it, but because they've believed in it from the very beginning and worked alongside each other as a result. Okay, the ultimate reason why they have this firm gospel partnership is because of God. But, well, there's even more to thank God for, Paul says, because he hasn't just overseen their gospel belief. He hasn't just given them that belief, but he's also going to sustain them or help them continue in that belief into the future. Okay, this is what he says in verse 6. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Okay, so Paul gives thanks to God because he isn't just the God who did the work, but the God who continues to work in them and in the lives of those who trust him. Okay, the gospel you believe in, Paul says, the gospel you believe in it God will keep you secure, no matter what happens, until Jesus returns. Now, when people talk about the stock market, they say a bad investment is one in which you invest in it, hoping that it'll go well into the future, but actually it doesn't, right? It fails. It goes bad, okay? So it's something like those who would have invested in Blockbuster Video or in Windows Mobile, right? Those would have been bad investments because they didn't turn out well. But Paul here, writing to the Philippian church, well, he's saying this gospel that you believe in, that's the opposite of a bad investment, right? This is a great investment. This is one of the most secure investments you can make in your life. And Paul's saying, you've made that investment if you're trusting in Jesus, right? This is the ultimate kind of blue chip investment with infinite returns, Paul's saying. And he has God to thank for all of it. Right? I mean, think about it. His confidence, right? He says he's confident that they'll continue in faith. His confidence isn't based on him, that he's like done a really good job in teaching them the Bible. His confidence isn't based on them, that like they're just really faithful people. No, he makes it really clear his confidence comes because God has done the work. And God will bring it to completion when Jesus returns. Okay, when you invest in the stock market, even the best, the highest rated trades are still, at the end of the day, only best guesses. There's so many variables at play, and no one can know the future for certain. But Paul speaks here with real certainty. That's not because he can predict the future, but because he knows God is behind what's happening to them. God is behind the work that happens in the gospel. God does the work of the gospel and he brings that to completion in the lives of his people. And that is why Paul prays regularly for this church and why when he does so, he thanks God because he's confident, right, that God has done this work. And that means, as a result, that this connection that he has with them, this relationship, this friendship that he has, this partnership, this will be an eternal relationship that he has with them, right? If God's going to continue into the future till when Jesus returns, it's going to be an eternal friendship, an eternal connection with them. And it's one that's been brought about and is sustained by God, not by him, not by them, by God. Okay, so no wonder when he starts this letter, he starts it off with thanks to God for their gospel partnership. Now, the second thing we learn about this gospel partnership is that it fuels deep relationships. And we see that, I think, as we go through the passage and we notice the ways in which Paul talks about their relationship or his relationship to the Philippian church. Now, first in verse 4, when Paul talks about praying for them, How does he pray? He says this, verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Okay, this gospel partnership that he's praying for regularly, thanking God, it brings him a great sense of joy. Now we're talking about more than just like a sense of happiness here, more than just like, you know, butterflies in the belly. No, it's something greater than that. What we're talking about here is an abundantly positive feeling in the depths of your soul. And it's one that only God can produce. Right, later in other letters of Paul's, he'll say that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Right, it's something that comes to those who know what it is, what a great thing it is to belong to Christ. And Paul's saying, I have that every time in spades when I pray for you. Now, consider for a moment, like consider Paul's circumstances. He's not lounging around in a deck chair enjoying a pina colada at a seaside villa. No, he's not on a seaside holiday. He's in jail. He's in jail as he writes this. All right, he's no doubt praying for them as he's writing this letter. And what's he saying? He's still filled with joy whenever he thinks and prays about them, despite his terrible circumstances. Now, what does that tell you? I think it tells you this must be a deep, dearly held relationship that he has with them, right? It's not just surface level. It's much more than that. Now, Paul goes on, right? He says more. He continues to describe his feelings towards this church in verse 7. Okay, he says this, it is right for me to feel this way, to feel this positively about you, because I hold you in my heart. Now, when we hear this sort of language in the New Testament, that talk about the heart, right, in our day and age, usually heart is what we use to describe perhaps a romantic relationship, but that's not what's happening here, right? When you say the heart, when Paul says, I hold you in my heart, he's talking about his true self, his whole person, right? The real him. And he's saying, when I think about that, when I reflect on that about me, you're right there with me. He's saying, when I think about who I really am, you're right there. Okay, this is a depth of relationship that transcends your average relationship, your average kind of common goal relationship. Because we might have many of those in our lives, might we? We might share all sorts of common goals with another person. You might be business partners with someone, or you might arrange a social event together. You might share a passion with someone else for a new technology, perhaps. But I suspect in none of those sorts of relationships are you going to refer to the other person or say to them, I hold you in my heart. Right? You're not going to talk like that. So the fact that Paul uses this kind of language, it shows again that the serious depth of his relationship to this church. Okay, this partnership that he has with them is highly valued in Paul's eyes. And why is that? It's because they are gospel partners. He keeps going. He keeps expanding on this, right, in verse 7. And here's, I think, we talked about those sunnies, like putting on the sunnies, getting the brighter, bigger picture. Well, here's, I think, where that comes into play. Okay, we said at the beginning, and when we defined our terms, that gospel partnership is when you and another person believe the gospel. Actually, now, when we get into verse 7, we see it's broader than that. It's bigger than that. Okay, because what does he say? Verse 7, he says, I hold you in my heart. Why? Because, or for, you are all partakers with me of grace. Right? In other words, as gospel partners, we don't just believe the same thing. Well, we've experienced the same thing. We've experienced the saving grace that comes to us from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? It's not just belief. It's not just intellectual assent, but it's actually what you've received from God as well. And still, he goes on, he expands even further. They haven't just believed the same gospel, they haven't just experienced it, received God's grace, they've actually responded to that same gospel as well. Okay, so there's multiple aspects to this. We're getting a much more fleshed out definition of what it means to be a gospel partner. And Paul says, part of their response to the gospel is characterized by a deepening gospel relationship. Okay, deepening relationship. So how do we see that play out? Well, in what Paul mentions about halfway through verse 7. Okay, because there he says how it is that they share in grace with him. Okay, he says this, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, right? Two things he lists there. Now, what's he talking about? Well, the fact that he's in prison likely means that Paul's probably going to have to face trial, right? He's probably got a trial to come up. He's likely going to have to give a defense and confirmation of the gospel. And so Paul's point here when he writes to this church is that throughout all of this, the fact that I've been in prison, that I'm still in prison, the fact that I've got this trial coming up, through all of that, you guys have been my closest supporters, my closest friends in the midst of it. Right? Now, that means, by implication, the Philippians haven't said, look, Paul, we hear you've gotten into a bit of trouble with the law, so we're just going to have to kind of press pause on things for the moment, just, you know, step back, maybe not talk to you as much, just until this whole legal thing's worked out. Right? Remember, Philippi is a Roman city, so they're surrounded by people who support Rome, who are like Roman citizens, Roman soldiers, right? It's a very Roman city, and Paul is in a Roman jail. So you think about that. The people around them are big supporters of Rome, and Paul has got in trouble with Rome, but they're still supporting him 100% while he's in jail. And even as he looks forward to having to fight whatever charges he's been charged with. Right? They're even continuing to support him financially throughout it. Okay, and you've got to imagine, on top of all of that, they're praying for him on the regular. So what does that tell us? It tells us they have a deep relationship, doesn't it? These aren't just some other guys on Paul's friends list. No, this is a deep relationship where they're supporting one another through really difficult circumstances. You don't do that just for anyone. You do that for people that you really care about. And just look at how deeply Paul says he cares for this church, right? This group of believers, with what he says next in verse 8. Right, the last verse we'll look at tonight. Next week we'll get into verses 9 to 11. He says this, "For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." He's talking about how deeply he longs to be back with them in person. Right, he's in jail in another part of the Mediterranean world. He's separated from them, but he deeply longs to be back with them. And here's how deeply he longs for it. Right? It's so great, his longing so great, of such great quality and quantity. He's saying only God can know for sure just how great it is. Right? That's why he says, God is my witness. God can tell you because he knows just how much I care for you, just how much I long to be reconciled to you. Right? But he says even more. He says, This is also a longing that transcends just your average person-to-person relationship or care, right? This is more than that. Why? Because he loves them with the affection of Christ Jesus. And in other words, it's Christ's love for them that is expressed in what he's writing to them. Right? It's Christ's love for them that's expressed in his longing to be with them. His desire is a sign of Christ's greater love for them, the love that's most clearly expressed in the gospel. So can you see here, as we're kind of working our way through this, why gospel partnerships fuel such deep relationships? It's because they're built on the love of Christ, the love that Jesus has for his people. It's why any relationship, any connection, any friendship between two or more Christians is inherently significant. It's of great worth. Right? It transcends your average connection that you'll have with another person. And that's because it's built on Jesus' timeless, limitless love for us. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was in the congregation in Philippi at this time, when we first get the letter from Paul that he's written here, right, and it's read out in the congregation and I'm there to hear it, I reckon I would likely come away with an even greater and deeper love and care for the Apostle Paul, right, hearing him say this. I think I would treasure even more the connection that I have with him, the connection that I and the church have with him. Okay, and I'm more than likely, this would make me even more willing to support him, even more willing to give thanks to God for what he's given to us in this partnership, and even more in awe of the love of Christ that fuels the partnership that we have with him. So kind of with all that said, we've covered a lot. With all that said, like if we put these our Philippian sunnies on, I hope you can see that a gospel partnership is unlike any other relationship or connection you might have in this life. Right? We all have relationships of different types, with different folks, whether it's family or friends or loved ones or colleagues or whoever. But there's something about gospel partnership, about a friendship that's based on mutual belief and experience and response to the gospel, that just transcends your typical friendship. And so I think one of the big points to take home from this passage is, how do you view the connections, the friendships, the relationships you have with other Christians here at church? What about other Christians spread across Perth? What about other Christians in other parts of the world? Do you think you could talk about missionaries that we support here at church in the same way that Paul talks about the Philippians? How do you view those relationships? Are they just another friendship or connection that you have? Are they just like the list of friends on Facebook, just one more on the list? I want to suggest that based on this letter, those friendships or connections to other Christians that you have are worth much, much more than that. Why? Well, because first of all, they're from God, right? He's given those things to us. He's given us those connections. And he sustains them for us in Christ. And also because those, again, those partnerships, those connections are eternal. Right? Paul's already made that clear. God will bring our faith to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So that means any of us who are here tonight who are trusting in Jesus, we will be together with Jesus when he returns. Right now, as I've gotten older, I've realized that one of the most common life experiences that a person can have is just that friends come and go throughout life, don't they? So people you're deep and close friends with, maybe in certain times of life, might not be so close in other times. Right? Like, sometimes friends just drift apart over time. Sometimes life circumstances change and you can't be close to people anymore. Sometimes friendships just break down. But if you're a gospel partner, which you are, if you're in connection with other Christians here at church or across Perth or wherever, well, that's a relationship that you'll have with one another through Christ for eternity. Right? No matter if you drift apart in this life, no matter if your life circumstances here and now change, no matter even if your friendship breaks down, right? That's what makes being a gospel partner so valuable. During my time at Bible College, I was able to form a number of new friendships while I was there. I was there for about 3 years. And because we were all together full-time during those 3 years, it was kind of natural and easy, I guess, to maintain those relationships. But since that point, almost all of those guys that I studied with have moved away, almost all of them, many of them overseas. And so I just don't have the same connection with them that I once did when we were all there together. I don't see them as much. But I think this passage encourages me to see that I still have the same quality of relationship with them. And that's because our relationships are based on the gospel. Right? It's a friendship that I will enjoy with them for all of eternity as we gather around Christ. And even if I don't see them as much moving forward, I can look forward with confidence to seeing them again with Jesus and sitting down to like swap stories and to share the joys of being able to serve God in different parts of the world, to share the highs and the lows of following Jesus throughout life and to rejoice together in God who made it all possible through his son Jesus. Now that's what it's like for you, for any relationship or friendship that you have with another Christian. No matter if you've been friends for a long time or not. No matter if you're really close or not. Okay, when Paul writes to this church, he says again and again how he feels, that he feels this way about all of them. Right? So if you look again through the passage on your own time, notice all the times he says all. Okay, every time he refers to them, it's all of them. The point is, he loves and cares for all the church, all this church, not just the ones he knows well, not just the ones that he gets along with, not just the ones who are in the same age group as him or life stage as him. No, he says he feels this way for all of them. And why is that the case? Because they're all connected to him through the gospel. Right? He's gospel partners with all of them through Christ. And so you are gospel partners with every other Christian here in the same manner. Right, that's what Philippians, this early part of Philippians, is encouraging us to see. Right, that's how it's like that new pair of sonnies. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That we have that level of connection with God and with each other. Right, that God would do that for us, that he would connect us together in such a strong and deep way through Jesus. That's something worth thanking him for, isn't it? So we're going to take a moment and we're going to do that now. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we've read through this early part of the letter to the Philippians, we want to give thanks, as Paul did, for the gospel relationships that you have given us. How here at church we are connected to one another by faith in Christ, and how that gives us a depth and strength of relationship that is unlike it and just transcends anything else we might have with others in this world. Father, would you give us hearts that want to thank you for this? Would we not see it as a thing that we've brought about because of our own personalities or because of our own circumstances or whatever we've put into relationships, but would you help us to remember that it is you that stands behind all these partnerships that we have, and give us hearts that want to thank and praise you for that. And help us as well to be loving towards those we're in connection with here. Help us to be willing to, I guess, step outside of comfort zones, to be willing to see the grand picture that you paint for us of just what it means to be a gospel partner. And may that fuel deep relationships among us here at church and with every other Christian that we come across. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.